The first lesson is from Isaiah chapter 56. Thus says the Lord, maintain justice and do what is right, for soon my salvation will come and my deliverance be revealed. And the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord, to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord, and to be his servants, all who keep the Sabbath and do not profane it and hold fast my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. Thus says the Lord God, who gathers the outcasts of Israel. I will gather others to them besides those already gathered. The word of the Lord. We will read responsively the verses of Psalm 67. The piano side will read the light print, and the courtyard side read the bold print. And I'll read all.
May God be merciful to us and bless us. May the light of God's face shine upon us. Let your way be known upon earth, your saving help among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you.
Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide all the nations on earth.
Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you.
The earth has brought forth its increase. God, our own God, has blessed us. May God give us blessing, and may all the ends of the earth stand in awe.
The second lesson is from Romans chapter 11. Paul writes, I ask then, has God rejected his people? By no means. I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Just as you were once disobedient to God, but have now received mercy because of their disobedience, so they have now been disobedient in order that by the mercy shown to you, they too may now receive mercy. For God has imprisoned all in disobedience, so that he may be merciful to all. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to Matthew, the 15th chapter. Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." And Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish. And her daughter was healed instantly. The Gospel of our Lord. Be seated. This thing got really sensitive in between the prayer of the day and reading the gospel, and I'm not quite sure why. But I say unto the children this morning, let us not cough upon one another. Well, as for this interaction between Jesus and this woman, Jesus could not have said today what he said to her from a foreign land so long ago, not if he had any kind of platform. He walks into a foreign land as a colonizer with his entourage and ignores a woman before he insults her. Word would have gotten out, and that would have been the end of his credibility, at least with a wide swath of the public. But viewing this problematic interaction through a lens of critiquing present-day culture won't suffice. Because this passage has been a stumbling block to theologians for roughly 19 and a half centuries. Thus, having begun formal theological training just shy of a decade ago, I'm not going to beat myself up too much about my own proclivities in trying to excuse Jesus's apparent rude behavior. Scholars magnitudes wiser than me have twisted themselves in knots to explain this as Jesus' mere testing of this woman's faith. John Chrysostom, one of the early church fathers as a bishop in the 4th century Constantinople, wrote that Jesus was teaching us that he had withheld the gift not to drive her away, but to make that woman's patience as an example for all of us. Well, the discomfort that this story causes Christians is not new, and it's also not going away, because we have learned that Jesus is God, and therefore must be perfect, all-knowing, all-good, and all-powerful. And in this case, we see Jesus not necessarily knowing the full breadth of his mission, speaking derisively of the other, and only in the end worn down, perhaps, by this woman's persistence. That this is only a test comes not from the Greek text, but only from certain assumptions we tend to make about who Jesus is and was. I, for one, need Jesus to be sinless, and the disdain that he expresses toward this woman sounds awfully sinful to me. So what am I to do with it? Well, it seems to be a growing group of others, bishops, mentors, colleagues, students of the scriptures, I find are willing to accept this as Jesus is growing into his Messiah role. I bristle a bit. This doesn't work well for me. This is not who I need Jesus to be. But isn't that a bit curious? Who do you need Jesus to be? And who do we need him to be as a community? And is he that? Or is he something or someone else? And can we live with that? You might have an instinctive answer to these questions, but we might want to ponder on that a bit longer, even if we haven't. In any case, what should be helpful is to examine what this Canaanite woman needed him to be. She needs him to hear and to listen. The Greek word translated as shouting is the same as the one used for a raven's cry. If you've ever heard one, you know it's nigh impossible to ignore. It will be heard, but it's also painful to listen to. Jesus hears, but he does not answer. Nevertheless, she persisted. A universal experience of anyone who has prayed to God is waiting for an answer, and at times questioning whether we have even been heard, or if heard, is God really listening? But prayers that take a long time to be answered are still answered. The savvy reader of Matthew who knew the Hebrew scriptures would have expected God to respond favorably to this woman, though it might involve some trial, as had been the case with Rahab and Tamar, who appear in Matthew's genealogy of Jesus at the outset of the gospel writing. This unnamed woman was able to wait, though she evidently didn't have to wait nearly so long as her foremothers. But how long can you or I wait as a matter of faith? Do we stick with God for the long haul, not knowing when? Or do we blow away and become unrooted, as in Jesus' parable of the seeds? She needed Jesus to have mercy, and we need him to have mercy on us. Mercy for us when we have not been able to patiently wait. Mercy for us when we have acted like we don't know him any better than those who don't identify as his people. Mercy when we or those who are closest to us, whom we love, are broken, and we cannot fix them, and the doctors cannot fix them, and our hearts are broken for them and with them. This woman who came to Jesus needed him to give help and to give healing. Who knows what she had heard about him? Does she mean son of David, as in understanding the genealogy that gave Jesus the credentials for his messiahship? Given her location geographically, culturally, that seems unlikely. She probably just knows that he is Jewish and has heard stories that he is an effective healer. I don't know if she expects an instantaneous healing of her daughter. I don't know if she thought he would need to see her, to touch her, to perform some kind of a ritual. But I don't imagine that she much cared. She just needed him to do whatever it took. Do we need Jesus to do what we ask of him, our way? We probably shouldn't, and yet we do. Or at least I know that I do. Or at least I want him to, if not need him to, and I find it difficult to let go of that. But if I can't expect somebody to load the dishwasher my way, why should I expect the Lord to behave in a similar fashion? It seems silly, and yet it's a real struggle to work through this kind of thing. The Canaanite mother needed Jesus to accept her and to accept her daughter as worthy. It's not a good look as to how Jesus got there, and I expect I'll always struggle with it. A lot of us will. But she is tenacious, and maybe Jesus needs us to be that way. She needed Jesus to accept an outsider, and we need very much the same. And we need to embrace the other as God first embraced us. As other, as unworthy on our own merits, as begging for not even a seat, but at least just crumbs from the table. We need to know Jesus ultimately has a lot more than crumbs to offer us. That's what happens at the end of this story for this mother and her daughter. She gets a lot more than just crumbs. But do we need Jesus to hurry up? Do we need him to give us everything we want? Or what can we let go of without letting go of what matters most? And what is that that matters most to us? What happens when Jesus doesn't respond how we want and how how will we choose to contend with that? These are age-old questions. And now we must sit with them or find out whether indeed we can. Amen.